Welcome to the Jones Zone, a podcast by Daryl and JJ Jones, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. Your host, Daryl Jones, a top Orange County real estate agent, has been supporting homeowners for over 30 years. He is here to share his tips and advice, as well as insights from industry experts, to help you take your real estate game to the next level. Now, here's your host, Daryl Jones.
And welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Jones Zone. Today, we're going to do an episode on Arizona, the beautiful state of Arizona. Today, we have Jim Klein, who lives near Sedona in a city called Cottonwood. Correct, Jim?
That's correct.
When did you make that move, Jim?
We actually moved October 1, so we made it once around the calendar now, 13 months ago.
So I just have a series of questions, and this is just for people who are considering moving to Arizona out of California. Obviously, you lived in California. In fact, where did you live in California?
We lived in North Orange County. Basically, all my adult life, I lived there. I was born and raised in North Dakota, but I've lived always in Southern California until we made this move.
Oh, fantastic. So I just have a series of questions. I think anybody who's considering selling and moving from California to Arizona would likely have. So I'm just going to go ahead and jump into it. So tell us, why did you move to Arizona?
Well, the catalyst was that my wife wanted to retire. And if you're not a long-term homeowner, it makes no sense to retire in California. And so we were looking at different places and considered things for a while. We'd taken a few trips differently and had a checklist. You know, she didn't want cold snow, didn't want high humidity in the south, you know, some of those kinds of things that we limited down to pretty much somewhere in the southwest. And we looked at a couple of other places in Arizona, but we kept coming back to this area. We had vacationed in Sedona a number of times, so we had some familiarity with the area, but never thought we would actually be living out here.
Right. And then you went and looked at some homes, well, a little over a year ago, and and ended up in, you're in Cottonwood, technically, Cottonwood, Arizona, which is right outside of Sedona. Is that
That's correct, yeah. Okay. It's about a 20-minute drive over to Sedona, so we can enjoy the Red Rocks without having to pay the multi-million dollar home prices over there.
Right. Well, what's the elevation of where you're at?
We're 3,400 feet, so it's really in a transition area between the low desert where Phoenix is and the Colorado Plateau where Flagstaff is. They have really cold, solid, long winters up in Flagstaff. In fact, Humphreys Peak up in Flagstaff, they were still skiing on Memorial Day this past year.
Wow.
I guess because of all the snow of this year, it was unusual, but yeah. Memorial Day, there were people skiing.
Oh, fantastic. So tell us why you moved there and the city. And so you're outside of Sedona. So what have you noticed is the biggest differences between California and Arizona that you'd like people to know about?
I think the biggest difference is that people just are not wound up quite so tight.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah. In California, it's, you know, zoom, zoom, hurry, get to the next thing on. It's a very busy pace. And I've liked that. I've enjoyed that. And it's energizing, but there's a lot of what have you done for me lately kind of thinking there, you know. And what we found is when we go to the stores, people are friendly. They don't know you, but they'll say hi and be willing to have a conversation. And it's a much more friendly, sociable place.
So just more living in the now, and a lot more patience. So, well, tell me this, what was the biggest surprise you had, if any, when you moved to Arizona?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting kind of a thing because we had looked and thought we understood about Arizona, but the thing that surprised me is how much there is to do around here, particularly if you like the outdoors. I mean, you can find a lot of variety of climate and activities. For instance, Tuzegut National Monument is probably the best preserved archaeological ruins that I've ever seen, and it's 7 minutes from our house.
Wow.
There are two other national monuments within a 30-minute drive. You can get up to the Jerome, which is, you know, they advertise it as a ghost town, but it was a mining town. At one point in time, I'm told that 40% of all the copper used in America came from the mine here in Jerome. So it's closed down now. There's a lot of copper, I understand, under the city, and the owners thought if they shut down the mine, everybody would move away. But the story I've heard is that in the 60s, the hippies moved in, and so it's never got abandoned. So they haven't been able to go back and get the copper. It's really quite a tourist attraction, and we can see it on the mountain from our backyard.
Oh, that must be fantastic. So speaking, how's the weather? How's the weather there? You have four seasons?
Yeah, we really do. It's the shoulder season. The spring and fall are really the nicest times of the year. In the summertime, it'll get, you know, I think the high it ever was 110. So it's not like being down in Phoenix in the valley. But the nice thing about it here is even though it might get hot during the day, it'll cool down into the 70s and 60s in the evening. So even if it's hot in the day, you get a break.
You know, that's a big deal. We've had that kind of weather this year in California. I was telling my wife, because I don't know, nobody really likes the real hot weather. But as long as it cools down into the 60s or 70s, it's palatable. It's much, much better.
Yeah, it's great to have the break. Conversely, in the wintertime, we've only had one winter here, and people say it was the wettest winter and the most snow we've ever had. I love to see the snow on the mountains and look at it. I don't want to shovel it. And the good news is that, you know, even if we might have 3 or 4 inches on the ground during the night, but by noon, it's all melted off. The roads are clear and it's no big deal.
Well, I'm sure I think most people, even when they think of Arizona, they probably don't even think snow. So that's probably a little bit of a surprise potentially for some listeners.
Well, if you go up on the Colorado Plateau, they have serious winters, blizzards and the whole nine yards. The interstate gets shut down. You know, Grand Canyon is up there, and it's sometimes hard to get in there and back for all of the snow that's there. So, yeah, there's a lot of variety of climate around here. But that's why we chose where we are. This is kind of the transition zone between the two, the really hot area and the really cold area.
Ah, perfect. Good choice, it sounds like. Tell us about taxes. That's another big compelling reason that a lot of Californians are moving out of the state. How are the property taxes and how are any of the other taxes?
Sure. I've had a tax business for a number of years, so I'm pretty sensitive to that.
All right.
And so I can see the differences. In fact, I have clients in 8 states now. They have moved away from California, but they like what I did, so they still have me do their taxes. In comparison to Arizona and California, the tax percentages are much lower. They don't tax Social Security and they don't tax pension income. Some of the 401ks and those things are taxable, but those are two complete exclusions. So depending on your income sources, it's a lot less in terms of taxes. And I think that the maximum rate is somewhere in the 7% area, 8% compared to 13.9, I think it is in California. So that's different. They also have another thing that I've never seen before. In Arizona, they came up with this school choice initiative. And effectively, if you have a tax liability for your state taxes, you can actually designate up to $2,300. It's an odd number, inflated, but somewhere around $2,300 for a married filing jointly couple. They can pay that to the school of your choice and take credit on your taxes so it zeros it out.
Which wow, that's
an incredible opportunity in my book.
Absolutely. That's a big deal. I like that a lot. And then how about the difference in the cost of living? Utilities, food, insurance? Yeah, can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Food is pretty similar. There are a lot of restaurants around here. It sort of caters to the overflow from Sedona visitors. There's an old town here and lots of restaurants. Food is, I think, expensive, but I think we made the move when everything was inflating. A year ago, you know, things were bumping up to 9%, I think, inflation. And so I don't know what component of that is, but we were back in California in October for a week and did a lot of eating out. And it was probably similar in price, maybe a little bit less. But I've never had bad food here. The quality is good. So, you know,
no, that's nice. I actually just had a bill speaking on this topic. Fast food, and a nice fast food restaurant. We had milkshakes and everything. $50 for two and a half people. My daughter had a little bit of a plate, but I thought $50 for a fast food restaurant, my goodness.
Yeah, it's true. It's getting up there. And we figure a minimum of $15 to $20 a person when we go out. There are several of the chain restaurants here, but a lot of independent niche kinds of restaurants that are, you know, flavored, many varieties too. We got Thai, we got Spanish, Hispanic, Mexican, we've got steakhouses, and of course, over in Sedona, everything under the sun.
How about this, gas prices? That's always at the top of people's mind. I think gas prices right now here in California, around $6.50 a gallon. What do you got there?
You don't want to know.
Oh,
I filled up for 3:45 earlier this week.
So around half.
We drove down to Tucson, and on our way back, there was one place we stopped and filled up for 2:79.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So that's a big deal. Also, you're asking about utilities. In California, we had gas and electric and water. And here, the only utility bill we have is electric. And the cost per kilowatt is about half of California. In the summertime, we were paying about $450 a month. We had a bigger house in California, but that's what our electric bill was running, plus some for gas and water. Here, I think our highest bill has been $160, and it probably averages about $110.
Wow, that's pretty dramatic.
Yeah, I almost don't want to tell you all these nice things because, you know, everybody's wanting to come here, I think.
Yeah, it's a nice place. I get that a lot. I remember years ago, my uncle moved from California to Oregon, and they were telling him, hey, before you get here, change that license plate out and put an Oregon plate there because we don't like you Californians.
I've been a little concerned about telling people where we came from for that reason. You know, it's a more conservative state, and as a result, there are people want to assume that everybody in California is crazy, you know.
Right.
You know, so anyway, there's a little bit of that, but once you get to know people, they're fine.
So tell me, what's the economy and the job situation? Is it similar to Orange County, or is there a big primary industry there where you're at?
Where we are, it's almost semi-rural. Population in Cottonwood is 13,000. There are probably 40,000 people in the valley. They call it the Verde Valley area. So there, a lot of it deals with, you know, the labor is construction, building kinds of things. There are professional people here in medical and in some of the high tech that can do things remotely. There are quite a few people, a surprising number of people I'm discovering that actually work somewhere else, even in the country, but live here. And so there's that. Probably the dominant industry is service industry, hotels and tourism related, hotels, restaurants and things related to that.
Heck, I think the entire country's made that shift to where so many people can now, we're doing a Zoom call ourselves. I mean, you can work on Zoom and remotely. It's what a tremendous opportunity for people to be able to do that and live where they want and work where they want.
Yep. Yeah. So that capacity is here.
Good to know. And then, you talked about this a little bit before. I don't know if it was before we came on air or after we came on air, but what is there to do in Arizona? You talked about some of the national monuments. What else is there?
Well, Sedona, you could spend a number of days just there. If you like being outside and hiking, there's almost an infinite number of places to do that. If you like history, it goes back. I mean, Jerome was a city of 30,000 people hanging on the side of the mountain back at the turn of the century when the mining was going big. So there's a lot of history to be found. Just a couple miles down the road is the Copper Art Museum. So there are things like that. If you want to go over the hill to Prescott, there you've got everything in terms of entertainment you'd want there. It's an hour and a half down to Phoenix. So if you wanted to do artsy things or big time sports, you know, we went down to the Diamondbacks game and we were excited because they won the first one we'd ever gone to. And I'd never gone to an indoor stadium before. So that was a different kind of a thing. It's a great place.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So you've got all the sporting venues down in Phoenix. If you're camping, off-roading kind of person, I mean, you can just take off from your backyard practically and go where you want to go. There are lots of national forest areas here on several different ones within driving distance. And if you choose to go to toward eastern Arizona, it's a higher elevation, much more remote, much more mountain-like, and there are lakes and fishing over there and those kinds of things as well.
Oh, you know, it's when you talked about hiking, et cetera, you mentioned that there does get creep up over 100. How long is it like that? Even though it's cool at night, which is extremely helpful. Is that just July, August, September, or what would you say?
Pretty much mid-July through mid-September probably are the hottest times. It starts cooling down. I mean, it was nice again by mid-September here. And, you know, and the nice thing, if you can do the siesta system, you know, you can get up early and when the sun comes up and go do things and then take a nap in the afternoon and get up and enjoy the evening.
That big drop in the temperature in the evening time is tremendously helpful.
Yep. Yep.
How about the medical care? We have a lot of retirees in California, and that's probably an enormous part of the business that I work with are people who are retiring and moving out. They obviously want to know how's the medical care there where you're at?
When we came to town, we were excited because there's a beautiful new medical center in the town. What we've discovered since we've been here for a while, though, is they're having trouble with personnel. They can't get enough doctors in. And so what's happening is that if people have a serious accident or if there's some serious malady, they'll often end up transporting to Flagstaff, which is an hour, or down to Phoenix, where you've got every specialty under the sun down there. They've got the facilities, but they don't have the doctors all the time to fill it. So that's been a little bit of a surprise to us. But in terms of ophthalmologists and dentists and things like that, there are plenty of those specialty trades here.
Well, maybe we'll get some doctors to listen to this show and say, hey, let's go move to Arizona. And there's plenty of jobs there.
Well, there's certainly opportunities.
And how are the schools, including, you talked a little bit about the schools before, and then how are the schools and including colleges?
Yeah, in terms of elementary, junior high, and high school, there are a number of private schools and charter schools in our immediate area. So, and then of course you have the public schools, and Mingus High School has got about 1,300 students, and that's the main one for the area here. In terms of post-secondary, you've got a community college, Yavape Community College is located right here. There's a branch for that in town, but most students will end up going, you know, it's an hour to Flagstaff where Northern Arizona University is, or an hour and 15, an hour and 30, depending on where you go in Phoenix. Down there, you got Grand Canyon University and a lot of smaller private colleges, as well as Arizona State over in Mesa. So they can go, they don't have to go out of state to get education, but they're probably going to go outside this community to get it.
That makes sense. And then, hey, how about insects and critters? I've done a few of these from different states. In fact, I did one for South Carolina, and she talked about alligators. I thought, you got to be kidding me. Alligators. She said, you just leave them alone. I said, oh, okay. But so how's Arizona? Any snakes or scorpions? What would you have there?
There are no alligators, but there are. I have not seen a snake or a scorpion, but I'm told they're around here. We hear coyotes at night, and they go through, you know, in the canyons and around here. And it might be surprising, there are wild javelinas. They're like a boar without tusks.
Really?
Yeah, part of the pig family. So they come through here, and we were told at Halloween, said, don't set out pumpkins because that's their favorite food.
That is so interesting.
Yeah, so they don't have very good eyesight. They're not aggressive, but they do tend to come, well, they could come through anywhere. I was down at a church meeting and came out, and there were four walking through the grass at the church there.
That's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, I don't mind them. You know, they're not problematic. They stink, so you don't want to hang around them. But yeah, so those are the only critters we've been dealing with. As far as bugs, very few mosquitoes. Once in a while, if the air is real still, you have some of those no-see bugs. You know, they're just around, but you can't hardly tell. But if there's any breeze at all, and there usually is some, not many flies or insects like that. You don't need to worry about getting bit. My wife has a phobia about bugs, and so we have a monthly exterminator come by and spray everything for her sake. But if it wasn't for her, I don't think we would need to do that.
Wow. Well, okay. Tell me this. So you moved from North Orange County. What is the drive for those people who are here now wanting to drive back and forth? What's the take you to drive back to North Orange County if you were to do that?
We figure about 7 to 7.5 hours drive back to Orange County. We go down to Phoenix, and then, you know, it's all freeway driving, interstates. And so it's more miles. There's a shorter distance you can take over the mountains, but I don't think it doesn't save any time. As far as flying, I've heard about somebody who lives in Prescott, which is just over the mountains, about an hour away, 35 minutes by air. But from there, they have some service to LA. I'm told about a fireman who works in LA and commutes by air. His family lives in Prescott.
I know someone that does the same he lives in Idaho. And he does that. So,
yeah. And in terms of, there's a regional airport commercial up in Flagstaff with somewhat limited service, but just about everyone goes to Phoenix, which is Sky Harbor. And so since we're north of Phoenix, you have to go through the whole town to the southeast side. So that's probably about an hour and a half to get there. But once you're there, you can go anywhere in the world.
And then you plop on the plane and you can go. And to fly from Phoenix to, well, heck, I've made that flight. What is that, around 2 hours? No, hour and a half? What's that flight?
Yeah, it's barely over an hour from.
Yeah.
Well, probably an hour and a half from by the time you get up and landed again in LAX. But yeah, and it's pretty inexpensive to do that as well.
And Phoenix, do they fly into John Wayne? Do you know?
Oh, I'm sure they, yeah, they do. Matter of fact, okay. I've done that.
Good to know. What advice do you have for Californians who are thinking of moving to Arizona? Any advice that comes to mind?
I would advise you, wherever you're looking, to come and see it. Stay a few days if you possibly can, just so you get a sense of what's there and what's around, and you know, you see what the people are like and what the opportunities are. We looked at a couple of other areas in Arizona before we came here. And part of that decision was pricing, climate, weather, and just some of the people we'd met. So I think anywhere you go, it's good to take some trips and see for yourself, not just overnight, but spend enough time there that you can begin to get a sense of what it would be like to live there.
Yeah, that and makes
in different seasons if it's possible.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And how about the real estate market? You're not a real estate agent yourself, however, so I'm not expecting you to know everything there is to know about real estate there, but how is the real estate market? For example, would you know the cost of a 4-bedroom, 2-bath, 2,000 square foot home?
It's going to be probably $450,000 to $500,000 up from there, depending on how much land there is with it. There's a new tract of homes that are, they're really, you know, pretty much a normal tract. They're 3-bedroom, 2-bath, typically 1,800 to 2,200 square feet. And those are running from, I was just over there, looked at those. They're nice homes, but they're running probably 420 on the low side to 530 on the high side, depending on, you know, that would be a larger house and probably have a fourth bedroom. So somewhere in there, there's a lot of building going on here. And some of it is a subdivision size. Some of it is tract homes. Some are custom homes. And there are a lot of opportunities, but there's a housing shortage here, probably not unlike other places. What's considered affordable housing here would sound like a steal in Southern California, but there are people who have difficulty being able to afford to live here and work here.
Yeah, I was thinking that sounds basically about half the price in California for a house, maybe just a little bit more than half.
Yeah, I mean, there's a friend that moved from Placentia, had a regular normal tract town, sold it for almost just under $1 million and moved to Texas to be near his kids, you know. And so, I mean, that's one of the things that's causing prices to come up here, because Californians come, and if they're homeowners and selling, it's all cash deal. So it tends to drive up prices for people that live here. That's just a phenomenon. As you were talking earlier, it happens in Idaho and Arizona and Oregon and every place that Californians go. I think they've had some upward pressure in Tennessee because of that.
Yeah, I've had clients go to Tennessee, and that's very true. In fact, it's funny, I was talking about millionaires, and basically we said, well, anybody that owns a house in Orange County is more than likely a millionaire.
Yeah, just about. If they have any other assets, they probably would be. The challenge is millions, not what it used to be.
Yeah, no, that's ain't that the truth. Well, you know, I tell you, I really appreciate you joining us for this. I reached out to a friend of mine, Lori. How do you know Lori, by the way?
Oh, we knew each other in Placentia. They lived there, and we attended the same church.
Okay.
They moved to Tennessee a year before we made our move here. And they were, of course, trying to get us to go to Tennessee, but that was the well-beaten path, you know, and they had too many bugs and lots of rainstorms and, you know, that kind of a thing. My wife wasn't that interested in that.
I often tell people it's really a matter of pick your poison. I don't know if there's a perfect place. As great as Orange County is, though, but you've got your whatever wildfires, your taxes, your traffic, your mudslides, I suppose.
You can't beat Southern California weather. You know, you got to be, it's hard to duplicate that anywhere else. but there are a lot of trade-offs.
Right. Well, all right. Well, hey, I thank you so much for giving us your valuable time, Jim, on doing this for us and for me and for people who are interested in knowing more about Arizona. So again, thank you. And I hope you have a great day. Hey, what's the time there?
Arizona has its own deal because they don't go on daylight savings time. And so for about 9 of the 12 months of the year, the time is the same as in California. But when the time changes in November, there's an hour difference. It's Mountain Standard Time up until whenever the time changes in the spring, March probably.
Yeah, March.
Yeah, so I have to do a mind shift on that myself to remember.
I do the same. Well, all right. Well, thank you, Jim. I sincerely appreciate this so much. And please, anybody that's interested, we have shows on other states. Subscribe to the channel, and hopefully you can get some real valuable information. And signing off from the Jones Zone, this is Daryl Jones with the Daryl and JJ Jones Real Estate Team. If we can be of any service to you, give us a holler. And again, thank you, Jim.
Certainly. Thank you, Daryl.
Take care.
Thanks for tuning into the Jones Zone, your resource for building wealth and knowledge in everything real estate. If you found this information and insights shared in today's episode valuable, be sure to head over to iTunes to rate the show. Leave a review and subscribe so that you don't miss another episode. Remember, when it comes to real estate, knowledge is power. Stay informed and stay ahead of the game with us. I'll be back next week with even more expert advice and industry insights. Don't miss it. Thank you.